I first visited this church several years ago because I was looking for a community where people bring casseroles when someone's having a hard time. I found that and a lot more. There's a poem someone gave my mom during one of her recent hospital visits, and I really like it. It's attributed to Annie Johnson Flint, and it goes like this. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the laborer, light on the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Now, I like this poem a lot, but I had to ask myself why, because I don't believe in a personal God who reads our minds and arranges things for us, so it seemed like a contradiction in my personal theology. The answer was surprising to me, but very simple. God's love manifests for me through the people in this religious community. Let me give you a quick example. I was in a committee meeting last summer, and my phone rang. And I couldn't resist peeking at it, and I saw it was my sister, who was in Michigan with my mom, who was just getting out of rehab after major cancer surgery. So I answered it, and I learned that my mom had fallen and hit her head and was on her way to the hospital right then. So I told the committee, and immediately I got a warm hug and a shoulder to cry on, literally, and words of comfort and support and love. In looking for a church, I was also looking for a sense of belonging. At the Christmas Eve service, how many people were at the Christmas Eve service? For those of you who weren't there, Beckett was participating in a particularly enthusiastic way. And when Katie spoke, she used a gentle humor to embrace Beckett's contribution and sanction it. And after the service, a visitor commented that this church must be a very close-knit community because it was obvious that everyone knew who Beckett was. That close-knit feeling came partly from Beckett's vibrant personality and partly from the deep affection that we have for the children in our community. But it also wouldn't have happened without Katie, who took Beckett's contributions and wove them into the sacred fabric of worship. And not just anyone could have done that. Since I joined the finance committee, I've become keenly aware of the financial side of the church and how essential it is to our existence. We could meet on the bare ground in some open space and lead each other in worship, but I like this space a lot better. And our experience is so much richer because we have professional ministers to guide and serve us. And like all of us, they deserve a fair wage too. To sum up, I give to this church because it feeds my heart, my soul, and my intellect, because you've accepted my partner and me into your community and your hearts, and because I love you. I give financially to the church because I understand that without it, we wouldn't have a church.
Last poem that was just read was actually a very ancient Welsh poem by Taliesin. And that name might sound familiar, like Frank Lloyd Wright's house, which was named after this poet, Taliesin. Grand ideas and simple comforts. If I didn't know any better, I might think this was the title where the preacher delivers the address about the Super Bowl. What a grand idea, eh? After this long, grueling, late summer preseason, then the full fall regular season stretching into the winter months comes rushing to this magnificent finale on the cross-quarter day of the calendar year. And in a spectacularly spiritual and mystical city like New Orleans to boot. Oh, and with this Golden City's team, a truly grand idea. And added to it are the simple comforts of gathering folks round to feast and make merry. Well, I didn't have a 49ers ministerial stole to wear, so I just wore my red stole with the golden thread in it in honor of this special day. And I'm not surprised to see so many of us adorned so gaily. Which then, of course, also makes me think Super Bowl, Superman, Superwoman. And Superman and Superwoman, do you know how they got their powers? The sun, the golden sun, and along with Wonder Woman, she too wore red and gold. They did. Red and gold, and they got their power through the sun. Powerful, strong, powerful colors. When put all together, we celebrate strength and the beauty of bodies, the spirituality of vicariously feeling erotic pleasure of beauty in motion. And I'm quoting the recent article that was in the UU World magazine. They were talking about football. So our celebration of an ancient holiday that marks the sun's growing strength fits in quite seamlessly, it seems to me, where we begin to see the days grow longer, and in many places, especially as the world watches on New Orleans, we observe the first signs of spring, as did the groundhog, right? And the groundhog is, of course, attached to this same festival of Imbolc. The Super Bowl really does have a lot in common with Imbolc, that other holiday that we celebrate today. Imbolc, that, as Darcy said, is also called Brigid, heeds the goddess of the holy well, that's why we had this, and the sacred flame. And you might wonder, why are the tube socks holy for this day? But somehow they are. They're symbolizing of snakes, so that's part of the holiday too. And she's also in charge of inspiration, hence the poetry. It's a poetic day, and there is poetry in Imbolc. Fire is also the symbol for energy, and we use that fire here in many ways, our chalice, our candles. And Brigid is also known as the healer. And so today we feel the power and embodiment of the female divine. 70s feminist theologian Carol Crist reminded us of this ancient strong woman's history when she wrote Why Women Need the Goddess. She began her essay with the words of the poet Nitsake Shange, who wrote for colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. And in that play, a tall, beautiful black woman rises from despair to call out, "I found God in myself, and I loved her fiercely." 35 years later, I still feel deeply moved when I hear these words. And I can't tell you how frequently I still find need to suggest to folks the book that's entitled A God Who Looks Like Me, if only recommending it for the title alone. The healthy aspects of Super Bowl enthusiasm. Now, I am a mom of two football players, one that played the game all the way through college. I am saddened and greatly concerned by the violent and personally dangerous aspects of the game. But if we just think of the core experience of beauty and grace coupled with strategy and strength, I have to note, too, that it seems to me that I will call them costumes that the players wear more recently look much more balletic, if you really look at the way that the pants look more like tights these days, that you see the aspects of beauty and grace, and they're coupled with strategy and strength, that the appreciation of the values of accomplishment by team effort rather than individual glory, these things are worthy. The exhibition of strength and beauty, the grace of the feminine divine, these make up embodied earth-based theology, God, goddess in us, seeing ourselves and all of ourselves, and what Darcy calls messy imperfection. All of us. We strive and we apply ourselves. We see elements of ourselves in the divine, and we find ourselves at the end actually quite spent. And even for those of us who have long ago left the idea of God behind, the notion of goddess can symbolize strength. That traditional God the Father language is often embedded very ubiquitously deep in our culture, in the language of our culture. And a reminder that that second wave feminist influence was not surprisingly present very much in Unitarian Universalism. In fact, it was that second wave feminist influence that inspired women's spirituality both in curriculum and in practice. It was the impetus for the creation of our current Unitarian Universalist principles, the ones that are on the back of the bulletin. It came out of the women's movement and that women's power wanted. We wanted our language reflected in those value statements. Inherent in all of them and very explicit in the seventh principle is the honor of bodies and earth and our sticky placed web right within it. These days, we might see Bridget in Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton. We might discover her arrow strength in Princess Merida in the film Brave, right? Did anybody see that? Yeah, okay. Or Hermione Granger? Or Katniss Everdeen? Think of the arrow strength, right? Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Her quickness. And one of my, I'm going to name my favorites, Amy Poehler or Mindy Kaling? Writers, humorous. The theologian, and I say theologian with an A, the feminine aspect of theology, T-E-H-E-A rather than O, reminds us of the work we still need to continue. The affirmation of female power contained in the goddess symbol has both psychological and political consequences. Psychologically, it means that the defeat of the view engendered by patriarchy that women's power is inferior and dangerous. Affirmation of female power also leads to women's trust in their own power and the power of other women in family and in society. Okay, so what does it, not everybody here is female or identifies as female, right? Speak up, people who are not that. What does it mean for all of us to have qualities that we can find in feminine aspects of the divine? Starhawk explains, when I feel weak, she is someone who can help and protect me. When I feel strong, she is the symbol of my own power. At other times, I feel her as the natural energy in my body and the world. All genders can benefit from this understanding. So together, we struggle to create a new culture in which women's powers, bodies, will, and bonds are celebrated. our gifts today, this Super Bowl, super grand day, Groundhog Day leftovers, lie not in what this day brings to you, but rather in casting light on what you can bring the world. May it be so. Blessed be.